But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is the word of the Lord.
We'll come back to that scripture in just a moment, but I did want to begin by extending a public thank you to Mary Lou. Where is Mary Lou? She's back there. There she is. Thank you for preaching last week. I heard wonderful things, and we were able to get away for a week. It was a fun-filled gathering with my family in Colorado Springs, so grateful that you all let me get away. But with that, you know, we're looking at this scripture, and I think this passage gives us an obvious warning. What's that warning, right? No one knows who's coming, right? Who is it? No one knows when Jesus is coming. And the passage sort of says this very explicitly. It says, but about that day and hour, no one knows. And it's in that uncertainty where I think the real cautionary tale begins, the real cautionary story that we're supposed to take away. And Jesus begins by asking us to look back on the days of Noah. What did Jesus want us to see looking back on those days of Noah? So we're looking back, and then Jesus tells us in the passage, talking specifically about the people in Noah's time, right? What were those people doing? By all accounts, they were living it up, right? They were eating, they were drinking, kind of like we were just eating and drinking, non-alcoholic beverages, of course, at Thanksgiving, right? They were marrying, being given in marriage. They were doing all the things that we do in life. And on the face, I think we can assume that they were essentially were just sort of living in a circular motion, cyclical. They had this movement of life. They presumed that life would continue, that there was a future. Now, I don't know about you, my history is a little bit hazy, even knowing this story. What happens in the story of Noah? The future does not continue for the good many people that were part of that story, except for Noah and his family, right, who get on an ark and escape catastrophe. The cautionary tell, I think, is that amid the humdrum, the mundane rhythms of life, the people from Noah's day, they had a problem. They had the problem of a diminished expectation. A diminished expectation that God would appear, that God was acting in their world, that God would act with them. Now, the second half of our scripture, through the words of Jesus, lays this out. The Son of Man is coming. The Son of Man is coming. In other words, the people of Noah's time no longer expected God's presence was imminent. Maybe they were even going around life so quickly in circles that they didn't even think God's presence was possible anymore. They had a muted outlook toward God in their lives, a way of living that no longer expected God's presence. Be merry, drink, for tomorrow is, tomorrow's just another day. Now, this message comes to us nestled in what we have come to call apocalyptic writings, or writings associated with the end. And we are at a juncture of several different themes here. As we just discussed, Jesus is asking us to look back at the past, right? To look back at the days of Noah. and we're supposed to see God's work in the past. And then today, what are we celebrating? If you all said Christmas and December and everything the kids said, I would be very, very shocked at that, right? We're celebrating Advent, symbolized by our wreath right there. It's a season of anticipation to the coming birth of Jesus Christ. Now, what can all of these overlapping themes mean for us? Advent begins today, and it goes all the way to an easy answer here: Christmas. Now, during Advent, we remember that God's presence is the reason for our hope. God's presence has been with us. God's kingdom is sprouting around us now, and at the same time, God's kingdom, as we say, is always before us, always coming. Now, in a way, the overlap with all of these themes is what? The appearance of God, the appearance of Christ. Our celebration at Christmas is that Christ becomes one of us. Christ comes down into our world, into our mess, and we are definitively never alone again, right? God with us. Now, the apocalyptic nature of these words in Scripture is that Christ, God, is always just a moment away. That is the essence of apocalypse. Christ is coming. Christ is always a moment away. The question for us is, how are we getting ready for that moment? How are you getting ready for that moment? Now, our reflection on Noah's time shows us something crucial. Experiencing the mundane rhythms of life cannot be an excuse to not expect that God has been acting in our past. Right? The hustle of our daily lives now cannot result in a loss of expectation that God is moving in our lives right now. Likewise, it cannot result in a loss of expectation that God is going to move when? In the future. That God will be moving ahead of us, before us. Because we are an Advent-ready people. Can y'all say that with me? We are an Advent-ready people. That sounds like it's cold outside and we just woke up. Can we say that a little bit louder? We are an Advent-ready people. Now, Noah's time shows us that presuming life, right? Assuming life is just going to go on may hinder us actively seeking life. Presuming life may hinder our actively seeking out life. The Advent-ready people do not merely presume life. Advent-ready people actively seek life. Advent-ready people, there is always something happening for them. Each moment may be the one that the Son of Man may appear. As one commentator says, one day Jesus may appear in the clouds suddenly, like a thief in the night. But as the Gospel of Matthew reminds us, our reading today, Jesus will appear just around the corner, suddenly, like a hungry person, or a neighbor ill-clothed, or someone sick, or in prison. We are an Advent-ready people. But are we living Advent-ready? Now, the Scripture, again, shows us a timeless story. It goes something like this. It's about how anticipation, how expectation of Christ's appearance shapes us. Advent-ready people are full to the brim of expectation. I once heard it described like this. Advent-ready people, Christians, are like the beach ball that you go swimming with in a pool, right? And you try to push down. What happens with that beach ball? Can't keep it from popping up, right? That's the expectation. That's the anticipation that we as Christians, Advent-ready people, are supposed to have. We are full of expectation. Now, the problem is that our lives are full of competing expectations. That ball is constantly coming up. It's constantly going different directions, right? The scary part is those competing expectations, with their own ends and their own purposes, are shaping us right now. It is a problem insofar that those expectations conflict with who we are as Advent-ready people, who we are becoming as Christians. Now, in philosophical terms, we call this teleological. T-E-L-E-O-G-I-C-L. Make sure I'm spelling it right. Teleological. And simply, this means that as Christians, we are people who find our reason, who find our explanation of purpose in a very particular goal or an end. And our goal is quite simply to experience the appearance of Christ. As Jesus alludes to at the end of this passage, we must be ready. We must be attentive, receptive, listening, observing, being open to Christ's presence in any situation that we may find ourselves. Our end is the appearance of the Son of Man. So we surround ourselves with what leads to it. We join in to others when they're pointing to it, right? And we stand in what moves us toward it. That is who we are. That is what it means to be Advent-ready people. But are we becoming Advent-ready people? Now, I came across a reading from an author of, by the name of James K. Smith. It's from a book called We Are What We Love. And he puts this really, really simply. He says, we are not what we think. That's what we like to think, right? That if we can think something, we become that something. He says, no, that's wrong. We are not what we think, but we are and we become what we love. And he starts off this whole discourse by posing two questions. And I want us to play around with these questions real quickly. He first asks, in your life, as it's being lived right now, What is it that you want, right? What is it that you desire? I want you all to think about your lives just quickly, just a moment. Let it span from the past to the present to your hopes of what might become in the future. What do you want? I want us to do some group work. Turn to your neighbor. Tell them that thing you want, unless it's actually something you shouldn't mention in church. Don't do that. But just talk gently about it. What do you want? What do you desire? So my kids just mouth to me, Dad, I want another dog, right? No. Now, the next question I want you to consider real quickly, just to yourself. What is what you want? What is it doing to you? How is it forming you? How is it shaping you? You don't have to share that with your partner. But some of what Smith dovetails with this cautionary tell, I believe, from Jesus in the Scripture, as we have already said, the people of Noah loved the cyclical nature of life, right? And consequently, they were going around life in circles that they forgot that they were actually supposed to be going somewhere. There was an end. Now, years ago, the country singer Robert Earl King, he wrote a song. You're smiling. You know what this song is? The road goes on forever, and the party never ends, right? I hated it. Do you know this song? Well, the whole song is about an ill-fated romance. You have to listen very closely. It's a country song, after all, right? The chorus line, the road goes on forever and the party never ends, sort of shows us our trouble. We get into trouble when we think that the road goes on forever and the party never ends, but we get into worse trouble when we begin to crave and want and live for that endless road, an endless party. We become what we love. We become what we love. And we know this to be true to a certain extent. It's why we are all sitting in this space together, right? We come to church, we sing, we read, we serve, we pray together, and we have this slight suspicion that all of those things that we do together are forming us. They're shaping us, cultivating wants and desires and love. Smith wants to emphasize that that's the same thing that's going on out in our secular lives as well. Do we recognize the reality that the secular world also has what he calls liturgical movements, right? Rites of passage that begin to form our hearts toward ends that may not be congruent with who we are as Advent-ready people. And do we acknowledge that those secular liturgies have their own end, those ends that form us? Now, Smith describes a trip to the mall as a liturgy whose sole purpose is to make us come back and sit down. Are you ready for this? Buy more things. Spend more money, right? He even describes the cashier and the store people as sort of quasi-prophets, right? Don't miss the sale next week. Check your newspapers. Be ready, right? Anticipate it. Now, I thought this was hilarious until I got an email as I was reading that said, don't forget, Black Friday is just around the corner. And then I immediately went on Amazon and I got lost for hours scrolling, afraid that I was actually going to miss at the bottom of the list the next sale that was coming, right? His point is simple. The world is full of liturgies that are shaping us now. What you choose to love today is forming who you will become tomorrow. What you choose to love today is forming who you are becoming tomorrow. So what are you choosing to love? Now, one area of tension is we rarely think of love as something we learn, something that is practiced, like an art, like we practice playing a musical instrument. Learning takes effort, right? Learning can be uncomfortable. Learning takes discipline and practice. Learning requires vulnerability. Now, toward the end of my undergraduate, when I was a sacred music major, I received instruction from one of the best teachers that I'd ever known. He was a trombone teacher. And he granted me the opportunity to not only learn from him, but he would let me work with him. And in fact, sometimes he would basically get a job for me, gigs, and then say he was going, but then send me instead. And that's how he would do it. In fact, he invited me to be his friend. He came into my life when I needed affirmation the most. He was enthusiastic about our work together. He was an amazing jazz trombonist. He was kind. He was empowering. He was wise. And then suddenly he was struck with a debilitating illness. And it made him immobile. And after a while, he was unable to speak. And then he died. And I visited him early on until visits became increasingly uncomfortable. The sicker he became, basically, the less I would visit. I had not really conditioned myself, practiced being vulnerable. And there was vulnerability in not knowing how to visit him when he couldn't do all the normal things that I expected us to be doing, talking, playing an instrument together. I had not practiced vulnerability. I had not even conditioned in myself to expect anything good. I worried God would not be present in those moments. Consequently, I missed a whole lot of God moments. Now, my Advent journey, as I suspect it has been and will be for most of us, was years in the making. In fact, here's a full confession, I'm still on it. But one thing I am discovering is that God often appears in the places and circumstances that we may initially find difficult, hard. Even now, on this journey, I cannot say that I love vulnerability. But pastoral work, being able to be present with folks as they near the end of their lives, being with their families at that time, it's teaching me to remember to expect God's presence, even in the hardest moments of our lives. Now, the silver lining about standing in Christ is that we all of us are still becoming. We can still learn how to want and wish and even love our end as Advent-ready people. It's not a question of who we are. Who are we? Advent-ready people. That's a given. We are Advent-ready people. Say it like you believe it, though.
We are Advent-ready people.
We are Advent-ready people. Hold it close to your heart. Okay? This Advent, I would like us to spend the next few weeks thinking about our Christian end. What that end is doing to us. How it's shaping us. Also, may we think about those ends that the world presents to us as alternative. May we have ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to soak up Christ's presence wherever we encounter it. We become what we love. So may we keep the moment of our meeting with Christ as our end. May our hearts be filled with expectation. May we become an Advent-ready people. And may we learn to love what we are becoming. Let's pray. O holy and living God, gosh, help us be aware of the ways that you walk with us on this Advent journey. That the ways you have been acting in our lives and our past, that the ways, about the ways that you are present with us as we are walking now, Lord, and fill our hearts like beach balls in water with the expectation that you are moving before us. And that all we have to do is discover where you are. Be good witnesses, Lord. So give us courage to point to your presence, to talk about your presence, to live in your presence. And we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.